All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified. I hope and pray that's your desire today, that all that is within you cries out to the Lord. Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life. Hey, men, I want to remind you, too, that Men's 33 is starting up. We have a canopy on the patio today where you can sign up for Men's 33. It's part of the men's fraternity thing. Wives, you should be telling your husbands, guys, you need to sign up for this. This is great. And it really is a wonderful study. If you talk to the men that are in it, they absolutely love it. And we would love to have every guy in the church involved with 33. So, guys, I want to challenge you. Give it a shot. January 5th and 6th, Tuesday night or Wednesday morning are the two options. Go out and check it out. Sign up. We'd love to see our men just plug into that ministry and be just taught the Word of God and what it means to be a godly man. Let's have a word of prayer as we get into God's Word this morning. Lord, thank you that you're here with us. Thank you, God, that we can lift our hearts to you and you hear our prayers. You're an awesome God. We don't understand how you do it, but you're God. You can do it. And so, Lord, we know that you live inside of each person that has placed their faith and trust in you. We don't understand how you do that either, but you're God. You can do it. Your power is awesome. And so, Lord, we know that you're here with us. We commit this time to you. We love you this morning. And we pray that you would be glorified in everything that we do, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about this. A man by the name of Zechariah. You might not know too much about Zechariah, but I love this guy. He was a priest that was the father of John the Baptist. Exactly. He was the father of John the Baptist. Now, as you know, the Old Testament ended with a prophecy that someone would come in the spirit of Elijah. That was a prophecy made by the great Italian prophet Malachi. No, it's actually, his name was Malachi, right? But it looks a lot like Malachi in my book. Well, Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament ends with a prophecy of a coming prophet. The Israelites would have to wait 400 years for that prophecy to come true. That's a long time, right? How long has America been around for? Next year it's going to be 240 years. I was just thinking about that today. 240 years. They were waiting 400 years for this prophecy to come true. In fact, these 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, by the way, in your Bibles, usually it's just one page between the Old Testament and the New Testament. These 400 years are referred to in church history, in the history of God's people, as the 400 silent years. God did not speak through a prophet for 400 years. But we know this. The Bible says that Jesus came in the fullness of time. At the very right moment, Jesus came. And there would be a prophet that would prepare the way for the coming of the greatest person to ever walk on the planet, the God-man, the God in flesh, who came as a lamb for you and for me, the Lion of Judah, who came as a lamb, a sacrifice for you and for me. So that we could have a relationship with God and be right with God and have fellowship with God. And finally, the time had come for this prophet who would set the stage for this baby who would be born in Bethlehem and then finally reveal himself in his public ministry. The bottom line today is this: having a heart of expectation is a wonderful way to live out the will of God in your life and experience the many ways in which he impacts the world. For 400 years, the Israelites had a heart of expectation, waiting for that prophet to come who would change the world, who would prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And I want to ask you today, do you have a heart of expectation? Do you have a heart of expectation for what God can do in you and through you? When you came this morning to worship, did you have a heart of expectation? Did you come out of a world in which you were discouraged and feeling a bit defeated and you walked in here today and said, hey, you know what? I'm meeting with brothers and sisters who are here to worship the awesome God of this universe. I'm changing my expectations. I have a heart of expectation to meet with God because I love the words and I say them here often. Where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, in my name, there I am in the midst. Do you believe he's right here right now? He is. He is right here right now. We have gathered together in his name. He moves in and among us. Do you have a heart of expectation to meet with God? When you sing those songs, do you have a heart of expectation to lift up God and allow him to fill you with his presence? When you open up the word of God, do you have a heart of expectation that says, God, I believe in your word, and I believe it can change me, and I expect you to do a work in my life today. See, so often we fall one decision short of doing what God asks us to do. We get up every morning, we get ready every morning, we get in the car every morning, we make all the right turns to come to Riverview Church. We get out of our car, we walk to the church, we find our seat, same one every week, and yet we fall one decision short of what God wants from us, to have a heart of expectation. God, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Do you have a heart of expectation? I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, there should be one nearby. Zechariah was a priest that had been serving the Lord his whole life. Wife by the name of Elizabeth. They were advanced in years and they had no children. It was a burden on their heart. They've been praying about having a child. And yet they weren't bitter about it. Let's read the text. It says this in Luke 1:5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child. They wanted a child, they had none. But they still walked blamelessly. They weren't blaming God, they weren't bitter about it. But they were praying for a child, even though Zechariah and Elizabeth were advanced in years. Both were advanced in years. Verse 8. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord. Where was that temple? Jerusalem. And he was to burn incense. And a whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. This is a time when people gathered and lifted up their prayers before the Lord, and the priest would be inside burning incense, which represented, as the smoke rose in the temple, represented the prayers and the worship of the people of God. Verse 11, here's the moment that changed Zechariah's life. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." This whole thing about not drinking wine, he was a person that would be under the Nazirite vow. You find it in the Old Testament, a vow that sets people apart for service in the Lord's work. Filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the mother's womb. Wow, you know this guy is going to be special. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Oh man, we've been waiting 400 years. Here he is, the prophet that was predicted in the Old Testament that would come and prepare the way for the Lord, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the people a Lord has prepared. Verse 18, you think, wow, Zechariah would say, man, great, we've been praying about this. We knew this prayer would be answered. This is what Zechariah says. Zechariah says to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Here's the first thing I want to challenge you with today. Cultivate a heart of expectation that elevates your walk and worship of God. That you would cultivate a heart of expectation. One thing I love about Zechariah, he wasn't perfect in this account. He doubted the word of Gabriel, the angel. He wanted a sign. How am I going to know this? But one thing I love about him, he walked blamelessly with the Lord. Even though he's disappointed about not having children, he walked blamelessly following God. He still was in the temple serving God. He didn't say, oh God, I'm really disappointed with you. I'm not going to serve as a priest anymore. He had a heart of expectation. Even as an old man, he was still praying for his son. I believe as he stood there and made prayers at the altar of incense in the temple for the nation of Israel, he also prayed, God, give us a son. Give us a child. God, give us a child. And the angel appeared to Zechariah and said, your prayer has been answered. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that every prayer is answered. Amen? It's either answered with a yes. Sometimes we get a yeses, right? That's wonderful. Sometimes we get a no. That's another answer. No, it's not going to happen. What you're asking, it doesn't fit into the plan of God, the greater purpose of God. Another might be, wait, it's going to happen, but not when you think it is. It could also be a fourth answer. A yes, but not in the way you expected. God's going to answer that prayer, but in a different way. Every prayer is answered. But Zechariah had been praying for a child. And God was going to answer that prayer. It happened right in the temple. Here's a picture of what the temple would have looked like during the time of Jesus' birth. It was a beautiful reconstruction that Herod had done to the temple that was built during the Old Testament. Herod reconstructed it, a beautiful reconstruction. And Zechariah was inside the temple. The altar of incense was a box 3 feet high, 1.5 feet wide, and 1.5 feet the other way as well. It was basically a square box 3 feet high with incense being burned on the top of that box. Right in front of the veil, the curtain, which if you open the curtain, step through, you'd walk into the Holy of Holies. Now this was Zechariah's big chance to be in the temple serving God, offering the incense before the Lord. See, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. How often did they do this? Well, let me give you some facts about the priests in Israel. There were 18,000 priests in Israel. There were 24 divisions of priests serving in the nation of Israel. There was a division by the name of Abijah, which Zechariah was a part of. In that division were 750 priests. Every year, you would serve 2 weeks in the temple. So every division would have 2 weeks in the temple, then they'd rotate out, and another division would come. They would serve for 2 weeks. Now think about it. If there's 750 priests in your division, you only have 2 weeks out of the year, chances are you may never get a chance to enter the altar, to before the altar, and burn incense. It could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for most priests. This was Zechariah's moment. The whole multitude was gathered outside. Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter the temple and burn incense before the Holy of Holies, which, by the way, is entered only how many times a year? Once per year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the day when the priests would make a sacrifice for the sins of the nation of Israel. And all of that, all that altar, all that sacrifice pointed to the baby who was coming, the baby born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, who had laid down his life for you and for me as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. See, every sacrifice of the Old Testament, every single one, every offering made before the Holy of Holies, every offering made in the Holy of Holies, all pointed to the perfect sacrifice that would one day come to take your sins and mine. And that was Jesus Christ. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And what I sense from Zechariah and Elizabeth, as they were trusting God in the midst of the storm. Even though the local medical clinic had said, hey, Zechariah, you're an old man, you're not going to have any kids. Neither is Elizabeth. She is way beyond the years to give birth. They were still praying. The angel Gabriel, which by the way, there are only two angels named in the Bible. Gabriel is one of them. He's here on this account. Who's the other one? Michael, exactly. Gabriel's here standing at the right of the altar of incense saying, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. What I love about Zechariah, he kept praying, didn't give up. And I want to challenge all of us to trust God in the midst of the storm you are in. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, we know a part of what their struggle was. They had no children, yet they were still trusting God. And my guess would have been that if Zechariah and Elizabeth were not given children, they would have been okay with that. They would have kept walking blamelessly with the Lord. They would have kept serving God. But they were still praying and trusting God in the midst of the storm. I want to ask you today, do you live every day with a heart of expectation to see God work? When you wake up every day, God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in my life and through my life. I can't wait to see the doors that will be opened up at the workplace, in my marriage, in my family. So often we miss it. And so often our expectations need to be changed. Did you read this week about the police in Toledo, Ohio? I don't know if you heard about this. Someone gave a donation to the police force in Toledo, Ohio. So what they did is they got a whole bunch of gift cards and gave them to their police officers. And the police officers driving around Toledo, Ohio, and they were kind of keeping an eye out for someone that they could give gift cards to. But you can imagine what happens when, you know, the police car pulls up behind you and all of a sudden the lights go on. Right? For most of you, that's pretty disconcerting. Amen? I mean, that has never happened to me. But I'm sure for you when it's happened, it's been tough. No, it's happened to me too. Disconcerting, right? And you can see it on the video. If you Google it, you can see videos of these police officers giving out these $200, $100 Meijer gift card. Meijer is like a store like Walmart. Giving out these gift cards to people. And you can see the reaction of the people when they first get pulled over. Like, why did I get pulled over? Hey, we just noticed you were driving so well. That happens to me all the time in San Diego. Please pull me over. Here's $100. You're such a good driver, Mel. Wow. Here's a $100 gift card. They pull over and say, you're driving so well. We want to give you this $100 gift card. All of a sudden, their expectations change. They hug the police officer. So they start crying because their expectations were radically changed. And I believe we need that kind of radical change of expectations in our lives. That all around us, God wants us to see his glory, to see him at work, to see him working in our lives, that even the difficult experiences are God at work in our lives. Zechariah and Elizabeth, you don't have a child, but they still kept serving faithfully. They still walked blamelessly with the Lord. They still had a heart of expectation. And here was God's answer. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at John's birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He'll be great before the Lord. Was he great? He was. This is what Jesus said about, what Jesus says about someone is pretty impressive, right? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 11:11. Jesus said, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Think about that. No one greater than John the Baptist? What about Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, who left Ur and followed God and became the father of this great nation that would bring the Messiah? What about Moses, leading 2 million people out of bondage in Egypt, where they were for 400 years, the amazing miracles that God did through Moses? Jesus said, no one greater than John the Baptist. John was dedicated to the service of preparing the way for the Lord. You know, that's a great challenge for us as well, isn't it? May Riverview Church, may we as followers of Christ be people who are dedicated to preparing the way for the Lord to meet others around us. May people see us a reality of our faith in Jesus Christ, that we would be part of preparing the way for God to impact the lives of people all around us. And may we see God's fingerprints all around us, working in ways that often we miss because we're not looking for it. I like this one quote, a coincidence is God acting but choosing to remain anonymous. Amen? I don't know if you're like me, there's sometimes, I wonder if that was a God thing. Yeah, it was a God thing. That was a God thing. That was God at work. That was God setting up that whole circumstance. And that was God setting up that whole conversation and that whole interaction with that person. Have faith to believe that God is at work. Have faith to believe and have a heart of expectation that God is still working in you and through you and all around you. I like this as well about Zechariah. He was faithful in praying. I want to challenge us today to take your concerns to the Lord in prayer and ongoing service. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they didn't give up. They weren't bitter about things. They kept praying. Even as he stood there before, even the words of Gabriel, your prayer has been answered, Zechariah, as if to say the one you just prayed is now answered. As he stood here at the altar of incense, praying before the Holy of Holies, your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Even Zechariah and Elizabeth, their names have significant meaning. Zechariah, meaning Yahweh remembers. You can imagine every time he heard his name. God, do you really remember? I've been praying about this. Are you really remembering? Elizabeth, the promise of God. Wow, their names were an ongoing reminder and a challenge in a way. God, are you faithful to your promises? And knowing that they were walking blamelessly, even in the midst of their disappointment, tells me, yes, they believe God was still faithful. God was still a God who kept his promises. God was still a God who remembers. Do you faithfully bring your concerns before the Lord in prayer? Do you faithfully continue serving God? Or do you fall into this path of bitterness? God, it's not the way I want it. I'm kind of walking away from you. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to follow you anymore. So God has given us an amazing mission. And my plan would be that we would have a heart of submission to it. I believe Zechariah and Elizabeth had that. They were okay with whatever God's plan was, but they didn't give up praying. That would be the third thing, having a heart of submission to the bigger plan of God. Having a heart of submission to the bigger plan of God. Philippians 2, I put it there because it reminds us that God wants us to have the same mind that was in Jesus, who didn't regard equality with God something to be held on to, but he let it go and emptied himself because he wanted to serve others. He wanted to be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. We're to have that same mindset that Philippians 2 talks about. We're to have that same mindset that we have this amazing mystery of the gospel to share with others, that Jesus Christ, God in flesh, came to die on the cross and that he lives inside of us who believe in him. It's a mystery. God wants us to share it. My little daughter, Capri, is 6 years old. And we have one door in our house that has a keypad on it. And you punch in the keypad and it unlocks the door. And Capri was saying to my wife and I, in her way, you know, she has this speech problem, but she was going, "Pathcode? Pathcode to my door? Pathcode?" She wanted a keypad lock for her door so she could control whether or not her siblings, her five brothers and sisters, could get in and out of her door. She wanted a lock, and she wanted to have a passcode, just like that door. So my wife and I talked about it. I said, we do it just this week. We said, okay, we're going to give you the passcode. We're going to give you that lock. So we got her that lock, put it on her door, and she was so excited about her passcode. My passcode. And she had to tell me what it was because I had to program it. It was 1212. And she was going to, I said, you got to keep it a secret just for you, right? 1212. That's your passcode. Okay, Dad. How long do you think it took her to tell all of her siblings what her passcode was? By the end of the day, every sibling knew it was 1212. She was so excited about her passcode, she couldn't keep it in. She had to tell her brothers and sisters, this is my passcode, 1212. And they were in and out of her room all day. I wish we had that kind of excitement to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, the passcode to having a right relationship with God. May we as a church never lose sight of that. May we as a church use opportunities like Christmas and an upcoming Christmas Eve service to invite friends of ours to say, hey, come with us to church. Love for you to celebrate Christmas with us. Celebrating anywhere? Come with us. Love to share with you the passcode to being right with God. See, John did that. John's life was about preparing the way of the Lord. See, he will be great, verse 15. He will be great before the Lord because that was his life. In the verse 16, and will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will do this in the power and spirit of the great prophet Elijah. See, God has a mission today. I want to ask you, what's your mission? Do you have a heart of expectation for God to work in you every day of your life? Do you look for opportunities in which God is at work? And God, I want to enter in. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it. I don't want to miss it. And here's the second thing I see in Zechariah. This is where he kind of blew it a little bit, right? to cultivate a heart that firmly believes God is able. Zechariah, when he heard the angel Gabriel, and he was fearful of the angel, he knew who this being was. Wow, this is some special encounter. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. How am I going to know this? Give me some proof." Don't you love what Gabriel says? Gabriel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Zechariah, you're blowing it here. This is a message from God. I am Gabriel, the angel. I stand in the presence of God. He told me this would happen. How can you doubt it? This is the word of God. I want to tell you today, folks, what we hold in our hands is that same word of God. It is that same word of God. And there are times in our lives when we may struggle a bit, like, "God, how will this happen? How will this ever occur?" Hey, this is the word of God. It's backed up by the power of God, by the awesome power of God. And I want to challenge us today as a church and as individuals that we would be in awe of God's power, that we would be in awe of God's power and trust him to work in ways that we could never expect. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you about this. Hey, there's a power that lives in you. Acts 1:8, Jesus said this, "You shall receive power." The Greek word there is dunamis. That's the Greek word that we get the English word what from? Dynamite, exactly. That God has given us the power to live out our faith in a way that impacts the world. Yeah, I get it. The world is going down a very different path than what God lays out in his word. I get that. But it's all the more reason that we as true believers in Jesus Christ stand up and say, man, we've got the truth. And the more you find out about the word of God, the more you realize how authentic it is and how verifiable it is and how miraculous it is. This amazing word of God that we hold in our hands. You've received power. Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ephesians 3:20 says the same thing. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or conceive, by the power, by the dunamis, which is at work among us. That same power is working in us. 2 Peter 1:3, it says it again. His divine power has granted for us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We should never say, "God, I would follow you. I just don't have the power." Yes, you do. You got to take the plug, plug it in. It's right there. God, give me the strength. I know you live inside of me. Give me the strength to overcome my struggles, my sins, my disobedience. Give me the strength to be bold about who I am in you. Give me the strength to believe your word when it says that I am your child and that you never leave me, you never forsake me, and that you are with me in every encounter that I have, and you are preparing a place for me, and you are coming back to receive me to yourself. Help me to believe the promises that you outline in your word. You might remember the story of Jacob in the Old Testament. Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau, and God met with him. He had a dream where he saw a ladder going up into heaven and angels ascending and descending, and at the top of the ladder was the Lord. And the Lord reiterated the promises to Jacob that he'd given to Abraham. "Hey, Jacob, I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to bless you just like I promised your forefather Abraham." And I love what Jacob said after he saw this amazing vision. He said this. Jacob woke up and thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, but I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it." And I think, how many times in my life have I been involved in an incident or an occurrence, an interaction, something happening in life, and the Lord was in it, but I didn't realize it because I was numb to the working of God. I wasn't in tune with the working of God in my life. And I want to challenge us to be a church that sees all around us the Lord in things and the Lord working. And yeah, that is a God thing, and I want to be a part of it. I don't want to fumble the ball in that situation that God has raised up for me. Be in awe of God's power. And it goes along with this. Be in submission to God's plan. Hey, Zechariah, this is the plan. This is what your son's going to do. It's a great plan. Be in submission to God's plan. See, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. This will happen. And then the next thing is this. Be in tune with God's discipline. Zechariah, because of the lack of faith, is disciplined by Gabriel and ultimately by God. Gabriel says, hey, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place. Until he said his name will be John, which shocked the whole audience. All of a sudden he could speak again when the baby was born. His name shall be John. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Hey, God's plan is going to happen. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing will slow it down. But because you didn't believe, you're going to be disciplined. And that's what the Word of God does for us, thankfully. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture is God-breathed, is inspired by God. The word in the Greek, theopneustos, breathed out by God. That's the authority behind the Word of God. And it has this role in our lives. It does this. It teaches us how to live the Word of God. Just like Gabriel was saying to Zechariah, hey, you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be John. He's going to change the world. It's the plan of God. The Word of God right here tells us his plan. It's not going to be changed. It's going to happen. Nothing will stop it. It's teaching us how to live a life that's one that honors God. There may be times, maybe in your life, I know what happens in mine. Oh, I got off the plan. Oh, my attitude is bad. Oh, I have an anger towards that person. Oh, I have a lack of forgiveness towards that person. The Bible reproves me and says, Mel, you got to forgive. Mel, you got to go back and change that attitude. You're living in disobedience to God. That's what reproof is all about, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay, yeah, God, I get it. Now what? Well, now the Bible does this, the Bible says. It corrects us. Let me teach you how to get back on the path. You need to go to your wife and say, you're sorry. You need to go to that friend and say, you know what, I lost my cool. That was wrong of me. I apologize. It's not how I should have acted. It corrects me. And then what the Word of God does this. It trains us in righteousness. It teaches us how to not make that same mistake again. That's what the Word of God is all about. See, the God loves us too much to allow us to stay in our sin and in our rebellion and in our disobedience. God loves us too much to allow us to stay there. But he disciplines us as a loving father, just like he did Zechariah. And my guess is that Zechariah never doubted the power of God again, ever, because of what happened. My prayer would be that we as a church would rise up and say, we believe in the power of God. We believe that God has called us to a mission. We believe that God has us here for a purpose. And that our desire is to have a heart of expectation every day. Every time I come to Riverview Church and worship, I will expect to meet with God. I will expect God to change me from the inside out. When I leave this place, I expect that God will open up doors of opportunity for me to glorify him in the way I interact with others around me. That's our purpose. May we not miss it. May we have hearts of expectation that our God is alive and well and active on this planet, and he chooses to use us to change the world. Amen, church? Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. And as your hearts are bowed, I want to ask you today, do you have a heart of expectation every day? Hey, God, I just expect you to do something radical in my life. Do you look for ways in which God is working in you and through you every day of your life? Do you know that God has sent you on a mission? And anything less than following what he's called us to be and do is disobedience in his eyes. And he will lovingly discipline us. And that we as a church would never lose sight of the awesome power of the Holy Spirit to fill us, strengthen us. The awesome power of God's word to change us. And that we would see for the inerrant, powerful, authoritative word of God for what it is. That we would live according to it every day. Even during the busy season of Christmas. Lord, we love you. We love you, God. Forgive us for the times when you were in it and we didn't realize it. You were working and we didn't acknowledge it. We were so numb. God, we know you're here now. We know you're with us now. We want to be your church, the way you designed church to be. A heart that just rises up and praises you in unity and in love. Help us, Lord, to look around and see a room filled with brothers and sisters in your kingdom. Lord, we love you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing this song.